As Garth said, what we're going to do right now is have what we affectionately know as this communion. We're going to take our communion together, and it will be in kind of the form of a shorter message. And then we've got a really great treat for all of you. Fred and a bunch of the people here in church have been working on somewhat of a production for a while. It's going to be very, very encouraging. I think you're really going to love it. So we'll get to that in just a few moments. As you probably know, Christmas is 10 days away. And for many people, right now is somewhat of a mad shopping rush. And if you don't believe me, just go to a mall later. On your way home, stop in if you can even get in, and you'll see what I mean. This is the time everybody begins to scramble because they put it off. They waited too late. They weren't sure. They wanted to make sure they got the person that they love just the right gift. And so it's somewhat of a crazy time. But for better or worse, gift giving is a part of Christmas. And it does have at least some of its roots in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 2, beginning of verse 7, "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh." You know, it's really nice to receive gifts. It's said that it's better to give than to receive, and I think that's actually true. And I know that there have been studies that have proven that we get a better feeling, a better internal feeling, a better feeling of satisfaction when we give than when we receive. Although it's a really great feeling when you get that really nice thing, when you see the look on somebody's face, that person that you love, the person you care for, and you picked out just the right thing, when you see the way they respond, it's a really, really great feeling. There are a lot of wonderful things we could receive right now. Maybe you've got a certain thing that you put on your list, or you've tapped the person that you love, your wife, your husband, whatever, say, "By the way, if when you're out and about you happen to see this thing, I would really like that." As much as we like to receive those gifts, the best gift you will ever receive is not something that will come from a department store, from an online shopping store, wherever it might be. But the best gift that you will ever receive are those gifts that we can receive from God, the things that God blesses us with. There are many that we could look at. We could talk about the gift of salvation. That's pretty awesome. We could talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing thing. But what I want to look at right now is a gift that we all need. And not just everybody here in this room. Not that we don't need those things. But something we need right now, and something we will need every single day, is the gift of peace. Have you ever received a gift for Christmas that you really can't use right now? As awesome as it is, maybe when you were a kid you got a bicycle. And you've always wanted a bike. So Christmas comes around and you get that really nice bike and it's shiny and the wheels are all clean and got a little tag still on it. And you're looking at the gift, the bike, and then you look outside and there's like 4 feet of snow and the roads are all blocked and icy. So you're like, you know, you'd like to use it, but you can't, as awesome as it is. The gift of peace is amazing because it's something you can use right now, but it's something you can use every day. And even more than that, it's something that we can pass along to other people. Because the best feeling is when you can give a gift away.
What does the world mean to you? Your house, your street, any further any of you want to go than that? Why should we think about the world? I mean, after all, what does the world expect of us? What does the world expect of you? What if the world is just a big disappointment? Unless you tell take the things that you don't like about this world and you flip them upside down, and you can start that today. This is your assignment.
It's like your big chance to fix something that's not like your bike. You can fix a person.
It's possible. The realm of possibility exists where? In each of you. So you can do. You can surprise us. It's up to you. Trevor has made an attempt to interact with the world, and that was the assignment.
What did you ever do to change the world?
So what exactly do we mean by pay it forward? It means giving back to somebody else or giving ahead to somebody else because something great has been given to you. Because you recognize the value of what you have just received. You want other people to know the very same thing that you have. So how does peace fit into this whole concept, this idea of paying it forward? I want you to take a look with me at the idea of what we mean by peace. Look over in Luke chapter 2. Begin with me in verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." What exactly do they mean by peace on earth? Has there ever been peace on earth? The New American Standard version of this says, "Peace among men." Up to that point, has there ever been peace among men? Has there ever been a time when everybody got along with everybody else? No. And certainly not back in this day and age. In fact, when this was written, it was far from that. There was a long history of battles and fights and wars, and people did not get along. And they fought over everything. One war after another. You see, the truth is, peace is something that few people in that day and age had ever seen. So why now? Why him? How would this child bring something that the world had never seen before? Peace among men. Not long before the angels made this proclamation, God already had this in mind. Psalm 29, verse 11, The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. When Christ was first prophesied, way back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 9, one of the attributes of Christ were going to be that he would be the Prince of Peace. To best answer the question of why him, why now, we first have to define peace. What is real peace? You know, often we look at peace as being the absence of conflict. So if there's no fighting, if there's no warfare, then we must have peace. But is that really peace? Is it simply the absence of conflict, direct conflict? Nations have peace treaties with other nations. They have peace talks to end conflict. And you know what? It does work a little bit. So maybe there are no more bullets flying across the DMZ. Maybe there are no missiles in the air. But is there really peace? Would they sit down and have lunch together? Would they have a cup of tea in a cafe? No. And so even though there may not be direct conflict, there is also no peace. It's just understood. You don't bother me, I won't bother you. Therefore, we have peace. And so externally, you have the impression of peace, but internally, there's anything but peace. They still hate each other. They're just not acting out. They're not at peace with each other, and consequently, they're not at peace with themselves. And how long does this peace last anyway? Usually not very long. Peace treaties are forgotten about. Peace talks sour. Next thing you know, the conflict is full blown again. It rages on. Look at history. You'll see. If you are waiting for all of the conflict in your life to go away before you feel like I have found peace, I have some news for you. You will never find it. Because there will never be a time when all the conflict in your life goes away. Unfortunately, it is here to stay. You resolve one conflict, and you know as well as I do, very quickly another one will arise. Maybe bigger and uglier than the one that you just resolved. And that's going to probably continue on for the rest of your life. If you're waiting for all the conflict in your life to go away before you find peace, you will be waiting for the rest of your life. The only hope we have is the hope of finding peace in the midst of all the conflict. To knowing that the conflict will be there, but I've got to be okay. I've got to be okay when things are going really well in my life and there's no apparent conflict, or at least nothing that's big, but I've also got to be okay when the big thing comes along, when the big conflict is staring me right in the face. That is a peace that we will only find in Jesus Christ. And it has to do with how we handle conflict and not letting that conflict handle us. And I think Jesus knew that. In John 14:27, I know I'm there. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And just a little bit after that, he says, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have trouble, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Now I want you to turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. He says, in this world you'll have trouble. But why do we allow things to get to us? Seems like trouble just finds us. And a lot of the things that we perceive as being big conflict, big trouble, are not that big, but we let them get inside us. Why do we do that? And it does. Things do get to us. There are two things that I want you to think about now before we take our communion that I think will help you understand the peace that we have in Christ and how that will help us be able to deal with the conflict and the trouble that we have. The first one is that we know who we are. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. See, the truth is, how we react to things, how we process things, how we see things, how we're affected by things, all have to do with our mindset. We either have a spiritual mindset or we have a worldly mindset. How we view life determines how we live life. The reason why so many people in the world live in fear and not in peace is that they don't know who they are. I don't know how or why God created me. And there's a conflict that rages on. The external conflicts of life, the ones that we all face, become overwhelming because there's so much inner conflict. Who am I? How did God design me? How should I be living my life? You end up as a very insecure person. What do I believe? What do I stand for? What is right? What is wrong? Who's right? Who's wrong? And when that personal standard for your life is ambiguous and left up for grabs, then the devil will grab hold of you. And he will fill in all the gaps and all the spaces. If we allow ourselves to be controlled by the nature of this world and its standard, then we live our lives in fear. And we're miserable. Nobody wants that. Nobody has to put up with that. The mind controlled by the Spirit of God is life and peace. Philippians 4 verse 7 says this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, we have peace and we have security because we know that we belong to Christ and we know who we are. But we also have peace because we know where we're going. We're very confident. And as you now prepare to take your communion, I really want you to think about the peace and the security and the confidence that we have in Christ. Yeah, as we said, many in the world live in fear. They fear the present. They fear the future. And I think Christians have a different take on life. We don't have to fear the present. And we don't have to fear what's ahead of us. We're able to live in peace. When Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." I think this peace is something he wants us to hold on now and hold on forever. Whether things are going really well or things are going terribly. Because of the cross, we do not have to live in fear. Okay, one last scripture, Colossians chapter 10. Chapter 1, rather, I'm sorry. Beginning with me in verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Through the cross, we have peace. Now and forever. And we may know who we are. And we may know where we're going. But let's not forget that not everybody does. So give the gift back. The peace that we enjoy in Christ when you meet somebody, when you find somebody who's not feeling a whole lot of peace right now. Let them know what can be found in Christ. You may not be able to fix everybody's problems. And that's a burden that we can't bear. But we can share with people, look, I can help you understand how to find peace in the mess I know you're going through right now. Give the gift back by simply paying it forward. What I've received from God, let me give back to you. Every chance you get. Let's pray for our communion. Father, we are so grateful and thankful for the peace that we enjoy through Christ. We know that the cross makes it possible. Without that death, without that burial, without that resurrection, we would be living our lives far away from the peace that were promised through the cross. We are grateful. Thank you so much for that body that was shed. Thank you so much for that blood that was given. I pray, God, that we'll always be mindful of that and be grateful and pass that along to other people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.